Hello, everyone, and welcome to minute 11 of season four of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast where we take a hilarious and poignant journey through the 1989 Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan rom-com When Harry Met Sally, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me today is Brian Lockhart of the Marine Corps Minute. I think that's what it's
Hey,
called, Marine Corps Movie Minute.
it all works. You can find it either way.
That's true. So welcome back to the show this season, Brian. I'm glad to have you back.
Well, I'm glad to be back. Thanks for having me, Rob.
I mean, I apologize there isn't any, shooting here and things like that. There's no military aspects of this movie. I don't think anyone even mentions anything related to the military here, but you can't have it in everyone. In Planes, Trains, Automobiles, I don't think we had either.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah. We still,
Exactly.
it'll be just fine.
Yeah, I know it'll be. That's why I keep having you back, because you're a fun guest to have and to talk to you about different movies. And this time we're talking about When Harry Met Sally.
So I have
So,
a question. Is
sure.
this episode supposed to air on a Sunday originally, but they don't do Sunday, right? We don't do podcasts on
Ah,
Sundays.
very good, very good. There you go. That's great. That's great. Nope. Sorry, they just don't make Sundays. Yeah.
I don't
So.
believe you.
I guess we're gonna have to break up, Brian. That's it. We're done.
You're right.
We're done. Bye-bye. So minute 11 begins with Sally continuing her underwear explanation and ends with Sally getting offended. So we ended things on Friday with we were in the midst of Sally explaining, why she and Sheldon ended up breaking up, and it was because of her underwear. But we got stopped in the middle of that whole conversation, and this minute begins with her saying, "It's all suspicious. Where was Sunday? Where had I left Sunday? And I told him, and he didn't believe me." And then Harry turns to her and goes, "What? They don't make Sunday. Why not? Because of God." So, I mean, I talked about this last week, so I mean, I'm not going to go too much into it, but you can get Days of the Week underwear these days that have 7 days on them. They have Sunday. But apparently in 1977 they didn't.
Well, is that where we got Sunday Funday from? Because there's no underwear worn on Sunday, so
It could be.
Sun.
It very well could be. You never know.
Do you think God would be upset for Sunday underwear? I would think he would want you to cover your privates unless you're married
That
anyway, so.
that's probably true. That is probably true. And that is a very good point. None of us know what God thinks about these things. But again, it
That's
comes
where
down to
faith comes in.
it, that's right. It comes down to man's interpretation of what God wants. That's what it comes down
Right.
to. From these type of things. So I actually wanted to discuss a little bit more about the whole idea of Sunday. Okay. So I mean, I don't know. Your religious affiliation, how religious you are or unreligious or what you know and stuff like that. But, I mean, the whole idea of Sunday being the, God's day. Do you know where that comes from and things like that?
Well, I assume it's because of, on the seventh day God rested, and they go, in the Genesis, in the creation story. So, I assume that's like Sunday. It was just, marked as, quote unquote, the seventh day, although some people say Sunday is the beginning of the week. So
That is
it just
correct.
depends.
There is that little bit of a debate here. I mean, again, me being Jewish, we believe that the first day of the week is Sunday, and the seventh day is Saturday. So there's a, and that's why they have Saturday Adventists and things like that also. There is a little bit of a debate or argument, I guess you could even say, as to whether the Sabbath is on Saturday or Sunday. We're not getting into religious views here. It doesn't make a difference, but the whole question is okay, where does the idea of, Sunday being the day of, being God's day? Okay. So it actually, as you mentioned, the idea of resting on the seventh day, comes from the Bible itself. Obviously, it comes from it starts in the Old Testament, where God created the universe or the world in 7 days, and on the seventh day he rested. Obviously, there it doesn't mention that if it's Saturday or Sunday, so that debate can still rage on depending on everyone's faith or when you want to have vacation or whatever it is, right? So the, and also it is one of the Ten Commandments. It is the fourth commandment of the Ten Commandments that you are supposed to keep the Sabbath. All right. So again, it goes according to everyone's faith as to whether that is Saturday or Sunday. But do you know where the idea of Sunday comes from? That, you know, when they started, when did people start saying, okay, Sunday is the seventh day? Do you have any idea where that came from?
No, but I would have to imagine it was sometime as the Catholic Church was expanding. I would imagine it was sometime during that time frame.
Okay, well, but it's actually it comes from quotes from the New Testament and everything, but it was with the Christians, so it started around apparently 360 AD was when it started coming, and part of the whole idea was because, you know, the Jesus apparently, I mean, I wasn't there, so I couldn't tell you if that really happened or not, but that it was Sunday that he came, you know, that he came back to life. So the idea was, okay, if, you know, he was dead for 3 days and then came back on Sunday, so that's why Sunday should be the, you know, the day of rest, God's day, that type of thing, right? Again, you know, my faith says something differently, but I can understand where that would come from. You know, I'm not trying to knock it or anything like that, but. You know, the whole idea, I mean, in America, all the idea of the blue laws and things like that, you know, those were all dealing with, you know, Sunday being the day of rest. That's why Sunday is, I guess, more of a day off in America than Monday is. Than Saturday is. Monday is definitely not a day off. depends where you work. Some places it is, you know, but in general, the idea is that it originally, you know, is either Saturday or Sunday when it comes to that. So no, I just found it to be interesting. The fact that, you know, here, I mean, Sally is clearly not Jewish. All right. Let's put it that way. Harry might be Jewish. We're not sure, you know, the name like Harry Burns. So you never know, but Sally Albright is definitely not a Jewish name. So therefore I can understand why, you know, Sunday would be her day of rest. From that,
I just assume that Harry is just because of who's playing him.
Okay, it could be, but you know, later on in the movie that he does, help her get a Christmas tree and stuff like that. So I don't know. We'll get there. There's really no way of knowing. It doesn't matter. It's not relevant to the movie as to whether it is or isn't. But she's specifically talking about Sunday, so we know that from her perspective. That's basically the way that it is, and it makes sense, and that's fine. And then the shot changes, and you know, we see an external shot of the cafe, which is a great way to show us basically that time has passed. You know, because their conversation just abruptly stops after, you know, she said they don't, you know, because of God, and that was it. You know, they apparently, you know, eat the rest of their meal either in silence or, you know, have all these other conversations that we are not privy to. Maybe the script will bring some of that stuff up. You never know. But right now, as far as we know, that is their entire conversation. So they show us the outside. We hear like crickets chirping or something like that. And then the shot goes back inside. And we see Sally doing something very strange. She's like, has, I think, a pencil and paper or a pencil and a napkin or something like that. And she's like talking to herself and she goes, okay, so 15% of my share is 90. So she goes 690. Okay. This leaves 7. And so it once again shows what type of personality Sally is. You know, she is very meticulous. We obviously, anyone who's seen the movie knows that that's who she is. But it's really nice to see it here, the way that, you know, just small little things. You know, she's sitting and figuring out without a calculator. You know, she's doing the math with on the table, you know, of figuring out that she has to give 90 cents for this tip.
Do you think she's using the equation is over of percent over 100?
I have absolutely no idea. I'm not a math person. You know,
it's the only thing I remember.
I don't even remember that, so I have no idea what she does. but she figures it out. And what's really funny is that, like, I know how to do basic math. So when I saw that it was 90 cents, so I said, "Oh, okay, I'm gonna figure out what 90 cents is 15% of." And I figured out that it was 15% of $6. So as I continued in the movie, I realized that she already gave me the answer, by saying that her, the pie or whatever she ended up getting, we don't know we know what she ordered, but we don't know what she got. It eventually cost her $6, a nice round number instead of like $5.99 or something like that. That the tricks they play when selling things to make people think that it's cheaper, just to say, "Oh, it's not $6, it's $5.99." And then she starts taking money out of to put down the money for the tip. And then she looks over and sees Harry just staring at her. And Billy Crystal does a great job. I mean, there's a great job in this whole movie, but in this scene, he's just great because he's just sitting there just staring at her. And she obviously thinks that there's a reason that he's staring at her, but it's not the one that she thinks. She thinks that he's, looking at something on her face or on her mouth or on her nose, something like that. And she then, takes what's going on? She like starts rubbing her nose and rubbing her mouth, thinking that there's something, that there's some food there. And it's also great because you can see that Harry didn't finish his meal, but she did. Whatever she got, she ended up finishing it all, and Harry left on his. Actually, no, she has a little bit there. Maybe it is pie, but it doesn't look like apple pie because it looks like it's red. But his sandwich
Yeah.
that he ordered, he's left probably half of it.
What a waste.
Yeah, seriously. Especially if hers was $6, I wonder how much he had to pay. But again, it's a cafe, so I'm assuming also it's 1977. But my assumption is that they don't really have to, it's not exorbitant prices for these type of things. It's something along the way, I guess you can say.
Is that why Ramblin' Man is playing in the background so we know it's the 70s?
Yes, of course. That's what they have to do,
Right.
And I mean, the way that he's staring at her, he has like one finger on his temple. It's as if he's like taking, it looks as if he's like taking it in a painting.
It's like, yeah, he's studying her
He's
is
studying
what
her.
I was thinking.
Exactly. Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. He's definitely studying her for what she is. And she's just wiping her nose with both hands. And it's just really funny how I guess you could say naive she is from that perspective. Because she goes, "What? Do I have something on my face?" And Harry's response is, "You're a very attractive person." And she like loses herself for a second and says, "Thank you." And as soon as she says thank you, she realizes that, wait a second, she now knows what he's trying to do. The reaction seems very genuine. When she says thank you, and then right afterwards it's like, "Oh, wait a second, what is he doing here?"
It is awkward.
Yes.
It's kind of like,
It's getting
what
awkward.
just happened?
That's right.
Yeah.
And then Harry says something that makes no sense whatsoever. He goes, "Amanda never said how attractive you were. So why would, I don't know. I mean, you've been married for a while. I've been married for a while. I don't think, my wife, probably not your wife, I know I'm making a big assumption here. I could be wrong. Would look at someone and say to Brian, "Oh, do you think that woman is, my friend is attractive," or something like that. It just doesn't make sense that would, like, why would a woman tell a man that her friend is attractive or that she thinks her friend is attractive? That type of thing.
Right.
So
Right.
like,
Yeah. It,
why would Amanda
go ahead.
say to Harry, that she was attractive? It makes sense that she didn't tell him, because he goes, "Amanda never said how attractive you were." And probably there's a reason for it, because she knows Harry would then hit on her.
Right.
Which, surprisingly is what happens here.
Yeah,
And
I wonder if he was under the assumption she was going to be like homely, you know.
don't know.
And then he's like, well, yeah, the more I watch her.
Because he's spending time with her. It's like, we talked last week about the fact that what did they both expect from this trip? Like, the two of them are just sitting in the car, that they don't know each other. It doesn't look like, this is before Walkman or anything like that. So obviously the only thing you can do is either sleep or talk. There isn't really much
Right.
else that you can do. And Sally's response is, well, maybe she just doesn't think I'm attractive. Which basically says that, it's showing Sally's self-esteem issues. Because as far as she's concerned, she's saying that I'm not attractive. Amanda must agree with me that I'm not attractive. Harry has a great response. He goes, I don't think it's a matter of opinion. Empirically, you are attractive.
Like it's a math problem.
Exactly.
That's his math problem that he's doing.
Yeah.
I find it funny that he, and he'll use it later too, that he uses attractive. He doesn't say like
You're beautiful.
hot or
Right.
beautiful, pretty. It's attractive because,
Well, that's his suave way of trying to get her. He doesn't say, oh, you're so hot. You're someone that I really want. It's like, you're very attractive. He's laying it on very thick.
No, so you think he's laying on thick, or do you think he really means it?
Oh, he means it, but he's saying attractive because he wants her to believe what he's saying in order to eventually convince her, to spend the night in the motel with him.
Gotcha.
That's his
All
goal
right,
right
makes
here.
sense.
We know that that's his goal here.
Right. Now, do you think that goal started out that way? I don't think so. I think it was
No.
as they were sitting here even, and he's like, wait a minute.
Right.
There's something here. Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, he definitely feels that. And then at this point, they actually, get up from the table as they were talking. And, I love the fact that Harry just like pulls out a bill from his pants and just throws it on the counter, throws it on the table. Showing, first of all, that he's, I guess you could sort of say a slob. But he's not thinking through how much he has to pay and stuff like that. It's like, okay, here's $10 or $5 or whatever it is, that he already has in his pants. It's not as if he's taking it out of his wallet or anything like that. So what do you know about tipping? Like, what do you think is considered a normal tip that you would give in a restaurant?
Typically, I know 15 is like the kind of the social minimum, but a lot of times I'll just go minimum 20%, and then obviously if it's a bigger party or if it's, somebody goes way above and beyond, you do more,
Right. Okay. That's true. You're starting to sound like it sounds like we're starting to have the conversation from Reservoir Dogs, where they're
Yeah, I
talking
was
about
gonna
tipping.
say I definitely don't believe.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I
I
don't believe
definitely
in
don't
tipping.
believe in no tipping. Although I do, I get really annoyed nowadays that if anybody has like an iPad, you're going to be tipping for things that you didn't know, used to tip for. So it's like, like if when you're paying with an iPad, like as the register, they're always asking for tips for stuff that you never tip for. And
Right.
like I used to be kind of stingy with the tipping when it came to I'm getting takeout order. Be more generous at a sit down restaurant, but if I'm going to the same restaurant and just getting takeout, I would. Yeah, buck or two, like whatever. I'd be kind of stingy. So I did sound more like Mr. Pink then.
Right.
However, just as like honestly through the pandemic, and it's like this is the only way these people are getting their tips at this point.
Right.
So I started becoming, hey, you know what? They're doing a lot. They're busting their butt a lot. They're getting the food ready. I don't have to like whatever. So it's like, I started readjusting how generous I would be during tipping.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. So basically, a normal amount of tip for a sit-down restaurant is anywhere between 15 and 20%. If you go like for fast food and stuff like that, people don't give tips, which again goes back to Mr. Pink. His whole the discussion about why are these people, why does society say that these people should be tipped and why does society say these people shouldn't, that type of
Right.
thing. So it got me thinking about like different types of things that you tip for. So we'll try to go through this pretty quickly. So like if you get a delivery, okay, do you tip the driver or not? Do you think you're supposed to tip the
Yes.
driver? And how
Yeah,
much
you
do
should.
what percentage do you think you give?
Honestly, that I would never figure out the percentages. Typically, round up to some, to the next dollar amount, and then a few extra bucks on top of that, depending on, the situation again.
Right. Okay. So it says that people, again, they normally tip between 10 and 15% for a delivery. If it's an essential item that you know you can't get anywhere else, people then will pay anywhere between 20 and 30%, sometimes even more. And if you get takeout at home, so people usually give about 10% of the bill. Okay. Now, okay, if you're in a hotel, do you tip?
Yes.
How much do you tip?
I asked my wife how much we should leave, or she'll explicitly tell me we're leaving this much for the housekeeper, we're leaving this much for for whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. You tell me.
Okay, so to pay for the bellhop, it's usually anywhere between $2 and $5 per bag, depending on the level of the of the hotel. Room service is usually 10% you add to the bill. That's a room service with a gratuity included on the bill, right? A room service without a gratuity is 20%. If you have towel delivery, it's anywhere between $3 and $10, depending on, again, the level of the hotel. Paying the doorman for hailing a cab is anywhere between $5 and $10, sometimes even more if the weather is really bad. For the concierge, it's usually about $5, depending on the difficulty of what you're requesting. If they're able to get you tickets to like a show that or seats in a restaurant that's hard to get into, so then the price would be even higher. And then housekeeping is usually anywhere between $3 to $5 a day for if you have up to three people in the room, and $10+ a day if you have six or more. Okay. Now, all right, other things. When you're on a when you're at the airport, curbside check-in, tipping or not?
I would imagine, but I don't do that, so I carry my own bags. If I can do carry on, I do carry
Right. Okay, so curbside check-in is about $5 a bag. Shuttle bus driver is between 3 and 5. A limo driver is 10 to 20% of the fare. Taxi driver 15 to 20%. Ride sharing service, like an Uber or something like that, is 10 to 20%. Okay. It actually also talks here about tipping at weddings, but I don't think we're really going to go into that one. It's that's just a little too much to go into. Then it has tips for when you go to a spa, if you get like a manicure or a pedicure or stuff like that. It's usually anywhere between 20 and 25% of the total bill. And then they have tips for funerals. And I don't really know, who you're tipping there. You're tipping because someone spoke, someone who's arranging things. I don't know. Because it says anywhere between $50 and $250. That's a
I
lot.
would imagine,
You'd
yeah, and there's
think
usually
you're
one
already paying
person
for
that,
it, you know.
yeah, well, true, but there's usually somebody that helps coordinate things,
Yeah.
that'll, help guide, usher people through, get stuff if the family needs it. So I'd imagine I almost consider them like a concierge.
Right. Okay.
Like
Could
that's
be.
what I imagine. Yeah.
Because they want you
Yeah.
want to get you want them to get you a good spot.
Right.
That
Yes. Somewhere up front.
That's right. There you go. Right. Okay. So then Sally responds to Harry by saying, "Amanda is my friend." And we talked about this a little bit last week and 2 weeks ago. How close of a friend is she really? My assumption is that Sally put up a post on the little bulletin board saying, "I'm driving to New York looking for someone to share a ride with. We'll split gas," and that's it. I it's hard to tell how close of a friend she is with Amanda. But
At this point, I had no doubt in thinking that they were probably decent friends, maybe not super
no,
close,
but
but
she
just,
doesn't know anything about Harry. It's like neither of
Yeah.
them. If Amanda is that close to Sally or that close to Harry, then one of them would have heard about the other beforehand.
True, true. I think as we go on, we'll learn that maybe they're not so close,
Well, right. Well, they didn't become they their friendship died because of this trip. But we'll get there
Yeah.
next week. We'll get there next week.
Right. That's a story for another time.
That's right.
Jump the
That's
gun.
right. And I love Harry's response. He goes, "So?" And Sally
Yeah.
goes, "So you're going with her?" And she has a very offended look on her face with the with this whole thing, the way that happens. And I mean, Meg Ryan does a great job here. Truly does. And that's Agreed. Pretty much how this minute ends. Did you have anything else you want to say about this minute before we get into the script?
Now, the only thing I was going to say is, like, I find it funny in movies when you have somebody who's clearly in their 30s and they want them to play college age or younger, they always, like, give them longer hair and messy hair. Now, granted, Sally, she has, you know, the kind of Farrah Fawcett kind of hair, you know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We talked about the Farrah Fawcett style.
Okay, but yeah. Billy Crystal's got the sideburns, he's got the longer hair, and it's messy. And they do that in almost every movie to show the younger version of an adult. They just give him longer hair until they learn how to de-age him, like on Endgame and all the Marvel movies.
That's right. Makes sense. Now, I mean, on the commentary of When Harry Met Sally, and I might have mentioned this last week or 2 weeks ago, you know, Billy Crystal and Rob Reiner are talking about the fact that this is the Jack Lord look, you know, from Hawaii Five-0.
Yeah.
You know, this toupee that they gave that they gave Billy Crystal to use. So. So, yeah, I mean, it works. I mean, I think Meg Ryan was in her 20s when they made this movie. So later on, you know, in the movie, they have to age her. But Billy Crystal mm-hmm. is the one who's older. You know, Billy Crystal, if I remember correctly, was born in 54 or 56, something like that, which means that at this time he was in his 30s already. You know, and Meg Ryan was a lot younger at that time to be taking on this type of role. So, I mean, the amazing thing is the chemistry between the two of them is unbelievable here. You know, it's something that you would think that because of their age difference, it wouldn't work, but it still does.
Right.
You know, I'm sorry. Okay, Billy Crystal. Billy Crystal was born in 48. I apologize. So that means that Billy Crystal was almost 40 when they were making this. Okay. And Meg Ryan, she was born in 1961. So there's a 13-year difference between the two of them. Wow. You know, and so if that was 61 and they filmed this in 87, 88... No, probably 88. So she was like 27 at the time.
Yeah.
So there's still a pretty big difference between the two of them. So, wow. You know, I can't imagine having great chemistry with someone 13 years younger than me.
No.
it just doesn't sound like it's something that would work. But for Harry and Sally, it works. So do you have anything else you want to say before we get to the script?
No, please go ahead.
Okay, so the script actually continues their conversation. So, you know, Sally says, because of God. And then Harry goes, and that's what broke you up? Yes. And then Harry goes, how many men have you slept with? Sally goes, I'm not going to tell you that. Okay, don't tell me. And then there's a pause, and then she goes, two. And Harry goes, you've been with two people, and you're telling me based on two people, you know whether or not you've had great sex? And Sally responds, how many have you had? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? I don't know. Is it between 0 and 3, 4 and 10, or 10 and 100? 10 and 100. Is it closer to 10 or closer to 100? 10. Then says the waitress interrupts them by bringing them their food as they eat.
That's funny, but, you know, it's not needed, but it's funny.
Yes. I mean, obviously, there's a reason they cut it out, but you know, it doesn't add much to it except for, you know, just the fun aspect of listening to the two of them.
Right. They do have good banter back and forth, so it just would have been more of that.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Okay, so every Monday we have a segment called Meg Ryan Monday, where my guests will give their top five Meg Ryan performances. So what have you got for us, Brian? Start with your number five and work your way up.
All right. Number five, Top Gun. Number four, Armed and Dangerous. Number three, Inner Space. And it was a tough call between number two and number one. So I'm going with it, though. But number two, When Harry Met Sally. And number one, the movie IQ.
Ooh. Interesting choices. That's great. All right. Thank you very much for that. Mm-hmm. Brian, you want to tell people how they can get in touch with you?
Yeah, I mean, I've done the Marine Corps Movie Minute podcast, which is Marine Corps Movie Minute Pod, if you want to find me on the internet there. I'm I've done the doing the Marvel Events Timeline podcast, which is a Marvel podcast, and that's out there as Marvel Events Timeline Pod. And my current project is ongoing still, which is Hamilton Shot by Shot, which is a rundown of the musical Hamilton, one song at a time, I do with my daughter. And that is Hamilton Shot by Shot out there on the internet.
All right. Very cool. Thank you very much for that. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter, or you can find me on my website. So until tomorrow, I'll have what she's having.
I'll have what she's having.
Gave me a thrill. With all your faults, I love you still. It had to be you. Wonderful you. Had to be you.